We will call the meeting to order. If I could have a motion, please, to adopt the agenda. Counselor Hooper, seconded by Counselor Anderson. Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. Do we have any declarations of interest? Counselor Jones. That'll be anything relating to Lake Ridge Health. Correct. Thank you. Anything further? Counselor Hooper.
Mr. Chair, I may have one in regards to Clarington Board of Trade. I am a member of the Board of Trade. So if there's any discussion in regards to that, as a result of our discussions at Mooseport, I will declare.
All right. Anything further? Better safe than sorry, Counselor Neal. Anything further? Seeing none. We have one presentation, and this is, we're going to call him today the illustrious, Trevor Pinn. Mr. Pinn, it's all yours.
I didn't prepare a PowerPoint presentation because we did have the budget workshop about a month or so ago, and most of it would be the same information. I did just want to highlight to Council a few things regarding the draft budget that's in front of you. One of the differences between this year's resolution and last year's resolution is that the recommendation is for the adoption of all the items. So if it is approved as it sits, in the past we would vote option B items into the budget, but right now as the resolution sits, everything is in, so you do have to vote anything off. So that's a little bit of a difference between this year and last year. A reminder to Council that 1% in 2019 is approximately $565,000 worth of revenue and has an impact to the average residential household of about $14.14. So that's just to provide some information to Council on that. There are a number of items. Sorry, it's hard to see from here. There are a number of items in capital which were added outside of the capital sheets. Those would include $130,000 for playground equipment, as well as $70,000 for council chamber upgrade, and the Orono Town Hall accessibility upgrade. That number is net of potential external funding. So those that information is also available to you.
I'm sorry, I'm going to suspend the rules so you can move your seating. Second by Councilor Trail. All in support? Opposed? That's carried. Thank you, Councilor.
Okay, just wanted to make sure I didn't lose my spot. Another change this year compared to past budgets is that the request from the Tax Rate Stabilization Reserve Fund to balance the funds has been reduced from $800,000 to $600,000. Part of that is to try and phase out the requirement for the $800,000 to balance ongoing recurring expenses. So what we're going to start seeing is more one-time costs coming from the Tax Rate Stabilization Reserve, which is more in line with what the purpose of the Tax Rate Stabilization Reserve Fund is. Although we did reduce it from $800,000 to $600,000 this year, we did include approximately $380,000 in that reserve fund to fund a proposal from the Operations Department to increase the urban and rural tree program to get ahead of the Emerald Ash Borer. So you will see more one-time expenses coming from the tax rate stabilization reserve fund in the future, but that will be offset by the fact that we're not using that to fund ongoing recurring expenses. At the moment, there's no tax policy changes from the region that we're aware of. There is a possibility that there may be an impact for small commercial activity on farmland. However, based on studies provided by the region, that the impact to the municipality of Clarington would be under $5,000. So we're not worried about that. Staffing has been included in the report, and there's currently 7 positions which are being included in the budget for this year, under $430,000 impact for that. As well included in the operating are a number of items which have been referred to budget, including whistle cessation, Rainbow Crosswalks, Lake Ridge Hospital expansion, Grandview Children's Center, and Hope of Durham. Those items have been included for consideration and are included in the service enhancement line of the attachment one. . 2019 does not see any debt expected. In 2018, we did have some debt costs for parking rehabilitation as well as LED expansion. At the moment, we're not anticipating having to go for debt in 2019, which is good. There is the flexibility, of course, if we do want to borrow internally to do that for a couple of projects. However, my recommendation would be that we don't do any debt unless it's about $1 million, just from a logistical standpoint, the cost benefit's not really there. As far as reserves and reserve fund contributions are concerned, reserve and reserve funds are one way that we are implementing our asset management plan and trying to stabilize the impact of the tax levy from year to year. So by using the reserve funds, we are able to smooth the impact of our asset management needs. And we've increased the transfer to the municipal elections reserve to $90,000, which will include a ward boundary review in 2020. Contribution to fire equipment reserve fund, contribution to facilities and park maintenance reserve fund, our community services reserve fund as well have been increased by $25,000. And there's a proposal to increase the future staffing reserve fund by $125,000, which would be the annualized cost of one firefighter. That would be in addition to the contribution from last year, which was one firefighter. So we're now up to 2 that we're funding into that reserve fund. External agencies have also are included in Section 10. The biggest increase is for the Firehouse Youth / John Howard Society. And that does relate to the fact that they're now operating 2 youth centers for us as opposed to 1. Other than that, for the majority, the requests have been in line with inflation for the most part. And the 11th section 4 in the report is important and is one that I have to point out to council as far as the Municipal Act is concerned. There is a difference between the way we budget and the way we report for accrual reporting for PSAB, and the Ontario government makes me highlight this fact that there is a difference between those 2 methods. The major difference for us is the fact of capital asset additions versus amortization, as well as the fact that post-employment benefit expenses are not included in our budget. We are not required to budget for those, and we don't. As well, debt principal payments are not technically an expense for PSAB purposes, but we do budget for those. So this is just to highlight the difference between PSAB reporting and our budget process. And then the final section is one that I'll spend a couple seconds on, and that's alternatives or options for council. There are a number of them, which would provide council with approximately 1.5% off of the proposed budget. Some of those are just flipping items from tax levy to reserve fund funding. A few of those were because of information that came late in the budget process. They were included in the levy for consideration, but there are funding alternatives for that. As well, the Clarington Public Library, we included a $50,000 study in their 2019 capital budget, but it was actually meant for 2020, so that $50,000 is not required. So we can remove that, as well as there are some options for the hospital and for whistle cessation. If we were to adopt those adjustments, we could be down to 3.5%, which would be, on average, $49.63 for the taxpayer in Clarington on the municipal portion. That does not include the region's portion or the education portion. And that's kind of my highlight of the budget report.
Mr. Bin, thank you. We'll be getting into the line by line momentarily as we wait for Mr. Pin to join us. Do you have any questions of a general nature? So I'm not taking amendments, and I don't want detailed questions right now. Councillor Neal.
So I think this is a high-level question, Mr. Chair, but the sort of reserves, what's going in versus what's going out, is there a, it's referred to as being in the budget binder, is that, I don't recall seeing that in the detailed part.
Through the chair, pages 85 to 94. However, if I do have pages 85 to 94, it's the equity schedule section, transfers to reserves and reserve funds. And they're listed there, the reserve and reserve fund, the amount going in and the purpose, and then the amount coming out and what it's being used for are on pages 86 through 90.
In general, what's the net draw on reserves then?
Through the chair, there's approximately $4.9 million coming from the reserve funds, but that includes, a lot of that actually includes DC items, including repayment of the Newcastle Aquatic Debenture, which is about $1.6 million, and $600,000 for the rate stabilization reserve to balance, and $385 for the Emerald Ash Board tree replacement. Those are coming out of the reserve fund. There's not a lot coming out of reserves in 2019. Going into the reserve funds, we have 2.8. So, you know, we're net drawing about 2 million out.
Out of
reserve funds, yeah.
What you would classify as municipal tax levy funded reserves? Is that?
I didn't hear that.
Is that? You would, so the $2 million you would classify as reserves funded by municipal tax levy? Is that kind of how you break that down?
No, not necessarily, because the 4.8 includes a lot of items which are DC. Of the 4.8, $2.6 is DC. So half of that, so let's say $2.1 million is coming out of municipal reserves, and 2.8 is going into municipal reserves if you take the DCs out of it completely.
Okay. Now, one of the things I'm trying to understand is, like, for example, on the IT portion, again, this, Mr. Chair, it's kind of a specific question, but it's really a general question. So I'm just using as an example. Okay. So the IT schedule shows there's unspent funds from prior years. Where do they go? Where do those unspent funds go? Do they reside in some sort of reserve, or are they just kind of off to the side, not in a reserve, but sort of, where do they? reside, I guess, from prior years?
So typically, unspent funds go into either the reserve or reserve fund specific for the department or the purpose that those funds are meant for. If they're general in nature, surplus, you know, we had budgeted $50,000, we spent $48,000, that would go into the tax rate stabilization reserve fund. But if it's a matter of a project which maybe didn't get completed on time or didn't get completed within that time frame, that gets carried forward and put into the reserve or reserve fund specific to the department. So for IT specifically, it would be in the IT reserve. We have proposed in the budget policy, which was in front of council and will be back in front of council in May, to change that process a little bit to restrict the time that those items may be outstanding for 3 years. So if a department doesn't spend those funds within that time frame, they have to come back to get council approval again, so they don't just sit there building up in a slush fund for years on end. But that would apply to any department, not just IT.
No,
but are they, when let's say, again, let's say $1 million engineering project was on the books in 2017, still hasn't gone ahead. If that goes ahead in 2019, do they actually have to show that as coming out of that reserve or not, I guess?
For reporting purposes, when we report our financial statements, yes, that transaction would occur in 2019 or 2020, whenever it's completed. However, past practice has been that if it's approved in 2017's budget, as long as the project is still going forward, it doesn't have to come back to council for budget approval every year, because you know we went from 40% complete to 50% complete. Once it's approved, it's approved.
And for example, is there actually a reserve fund for future fire staffing set up? Is it actually set up and kept hived off from?
There's a reserve fund called Future Staffing Reserve Fund, and right. The funds currently in that were, by resolution last year, identified four firefighters. Right. But the reserve fund itself is not specific to firefighters. But there is a portion within it which we will be keeping separate for firefighters per council direction.
And is that, so that is actually maintained, like it's cash that's somehow segregated?
Correct. All of our reserve funds are segregated from the general bank account. So they do have separate bank accounts, separate investments, and they are treated separately for accounting purposes.
And then am I allowed to ask, Mr. Chair, or do you want to defer that? I'm just trying to get a sense of what's in that particular reserve fund at right now.
Well, you're on it now. What the heck?
Yeah. That's perhaps a specific question.
Mr. Penn, I
go ahead. What's in it right now?
What's actually in that particular reserve fund at the moment? Because
there's
a statement of the balances.
There's approximately $250 in there right now.
Okay, where would I find that?
That is on page. Sorry, you just have to bear with me for 1 second.
Okay, it's page 90.
Page 90?
Yeah, page 90, future staffing, right under the ASO benefits, 252-805.
It is also identified in the staffing package, which is included in the budget report as well. But it is 252-805. And right now there's a 125 going in and a proposal for that to be actually 250.
Okay. And where's the building, through the chair, where's the building fund that there's a proposal about IT software? Where's that particular reserve?
So that particular reserve is the building division fund. That's on page 91. And that fund is funded fully from building inspection building permit fee revenue. It is required to be segregated by the municipal or by the Building Code Act. And the proposal for the software is because the software that's being replaced is the building permit software.
Okay, and through the chair, was there any contribution? Okay, maybe I'm getting a little more specific there, Mr. Chair, so I'll pass on that. The other question I have is just in general, the salaries increases seem to be all over the map in terms of certain salary categories will have a percentage of, 1.7, others will have a 2%. And it's never visible in terms of whether that's gapping or somehow related to gapping, or is there pay equity issues, or are people moving through the grid? Is it, just a thought, but maybe I personally, I would find it a little more helpful maybe if there was a little bit of an explanation that went along with that, because I tend to follow the percentages closely, and that's all. So.
Through the chair, all of the above for the impact on that this year. In the past, what's happened is the budget has been to the day. So if somebody's anniversary date was on August 15th, the budget would be changed for that person going through. We kind of did a little bit more of a rounding exercise this year as well. There is movement through the grid, and some departments will have people at the top of the grid, so the impact on those will be lesser because you're just looking at the COLA increase. We could provide a little bit more of an explanation for that in the future. As far as getting too detailed, of course, then you get into personnel information, and this being a public document, I have to weigh both of those options. So,
and then I just have a question through the chair about people over or somebody overspending on their budget line. So my understanding is right now is when we go through this, somewhat line by line exercise, or that there's nothing really restricting anybody from, say, if we have $100,000 line X and somebody spends $120,000, there's not really any restriction on that, is there, at the moment? Or am I reading that wrong?
Through the chair, this might be a bit of a long answer. Right now, for departments, all the department heads have had the flexibility where, because it's just an estimate, and that's what the budget is, it's an estimate of the needs to perform the services that we need to do. On a line by line, department heads have the authority to move or spend their items. If I have $1,000 in postage and I'm only spending $500, but I need to repair a window and I'm over budget, I'm going to repair the window. So we have to balance maintaining the service level, maintaining operations with the budget process. For the most part, there's no concern from my end if a department is overspent a little bit in one particular line, provided that they are underspent in a corresponding line. So, we've talked about envelopes or buckets in the past. As long as the department head is within their funding envelope to perform the services that we perform to the residents, I'm not as concerned. It's where we get outside of that funding envelope where they have to discuss that with the CAO and the treasurer. And that's been past practice for a number of years.
Okay. So in terms of the 2018, you have in here, one of the things I asked for was the 2018 results, and just kind of see where we're at. And because to me that directly impacts the rate stabilization fund. So my understanding is that's not complete yet for 2018, but at the same time there is, I think there's a statement in here somewhere about the transfer, or like the rate stabilization fund go up or down, I guess. Looks like it went down. Oh, you've got an estimated balance of 2018. So does that mean that there was surplus money from last year or a deficit? When I say deficit, I mean... I'll leave it.
Through the chair, for that specific reserve fund, we do not anticipate a... Let me rephrase that. The 2018 budget was for a draw on that reserve fund, and that is what has been included in the estimated balance. The surplus calculation, which typically goes into that, is far too early at the moment to go in. However, I would suspect, based on history, that it would not actually be a draw from the reserve fund. It would be likely to be a surplus, but we are far too early for me to quantify that.
Thank you, Councillor. Do you have anything further for Mr. Penn? Councillor Trail.
Thank you. Sorry, just bear with me. If I wanted to ask staff to provide information to it for us coming out of this process, can I move that now or should I wait?
If it's a motion, I think direction we can probably take. If it's something significant, why don't you wait till wait till later?
I don't think it's that significant. I just wanted a list, and I'll put it out there, of for all departments regarding their fleet and the growth in fleet since 2010, as well as the fleet strategy plan.
Okay, Mr. Penn, is that, can we do that? And when are you hoping to see that?
There's no rush. This is just for information. So if that's something, I could say, I don't know, before the end of, before we break for the summer, for example, there's no big rush.
I'm happy, through the chair, I'm happy you said for the summer, not when we break for lunch.
the tension in the room went up a little bit.
Yes, before the summer, I don't see that being an issue.
Thank you.
All right, anything further? He's just taking that as direction. Do you have anything further to ask of Mr. Penn? All right, so we're going to do things a little bit differently, and Mr. Penn, we're going to lean on you a bit, given that we do not have an A list and a B list, as we have in the past, and I think everyone's got the recommendations from Mr. Penn. We're starting at 5.05. There were a number of items that could be moved to reserve funds. Councillor Trail, I know you want to deal with the hospital. Beyond that, my suggestion will be that we go alphabetically to take amendments and see where we get. Councillor Trail, why don't you start with the, given that you you grabbed me, why don't we start? Oh, pardon me, the clerk is saying we need to actually get the report on the floor. So we've got FND-004-19. If I get a mover and seconder, Councillor Trail, seconded by. So all we're doing is getting the report on the floor at this point in time. Seconded by. We do want to talk about a budget today. Thank you, Councillor Henderson. Do you want to vote today? Great, and there was an update, so this, depending on which version you have, you've got items 10. The update included item 11, which was simply the golf tournament. All right, Councillor Trail, you would be making an amendment.
Yes, that would be to move $5 million for the hospital from the Strategic Capital Reserve.
Okay, so that would be at the time that they need it?
That's correct.
So a commitment of $5 million, and
yes.
Were you adding anything into the levy to start paying that back? I think we talked about $125,000.
Yes, that's correct. So $125,000, not the $250,000 that's there, but this is, and the understanding that this is to start paying back the Strategic Capital Reserve.
All right, and Councillor Anderson?
I would second that.
All right, and you'd mentioned that to me earlier, Councillor, thank you. So Mr. Penn, do you understand the direction, Madam Clerk? All right, so that's item number four on the list, if you will. Questions or comments on that? Councilor Neal?
I don't understand the second part, so about paying it back. I didn't catch that.
So I think the intent, Councilor, is at the time that the hospital needs the money, not today, we would commit to $5 million. But we are building into the levy now $125,000 to start repaying that when it's needed. So that would be a very, very long amortization. Once the money is out, council may want to take a look at increasing the amount. If we don't include anything now, I think it worked out to about a 0.33% increase that we would be committing a future council to. So that would just limit that.
Well, I would move an amendment to delete the second part about the paying the $125,000. So we can get a seconder.
Okay, so you want to commit to $5 million?
Well, okay.
But not the $125,000 on the levy.
Right, right.
I can amend the motion. That's easier.
All right.
So I'll withdraw the second part of the motion, and that's simply committing the $5 million from the strategic capital reserve, if that's agreeable to the seconder.
Yeah, I'll second that.
All right. Do we have questions or comments on that?
I'd like to speak to that, if I could, Mr. Chairman.
Councilor Neal?
So I think this is something that will benefit everybody, and I understand there's a bit of a concern about maybe intergenerational issues, but I think it's really difficult to separate intergenerational issues and tax levies and hospitals. So, I hope this is a one-time thing where we won't have to step up again, but I think to your comments, Mr. Chair, the other day, it's really on behalf of the entire community that we're doing this, and I think that money originates from something that was put in place by your predecessors, I think there's been several tranches of whether it's from Port Granbury or otherwise, and I think it's will benefit the entire community for the long haul, and it'll benefit current residents, future residents. That's why I believe that, and I understand the idea of having a contribution back from the tax levy, but I think it's kind of landing perhaps in the right spot. So thank you.
All right. Anything further on that, Councilor Hooper?
Maybe one of the only times that I maybe agree with Councilor Neal, but today. But however, no, we didn't do much on the weekend either, did we? Anyways, I just wonder what the original intent of that money, and I'm sure, like Councilor Neal has alluded to, that the predecessors earmarked that for specific purposes, and I don't know whether we have that anywhere in writing that what it was to be used for, and I can see the $5 million going back or going to the hospital. But what is the grand plan for that? What will that leave us as a balance in that amount? Through you to the director.
Through the chair, the answer to the first part of that question is that it was fairly generic in that the reserve funds to be used for economic development initiatives. One could argue that the doubling of the hospital with the new jobs would be an economic development opportunity, so I don't see there being an issue that way. As far as what the balance would be, it would be $5 million left after that. One thing to keep in mind is that currently we do budget $250,000 transfer from that reserve fund to the general fund, general operating levy. Every year based on the interest that we accrue on that reserve fund. So when we do get to the point where we have to transfer that money to the hospital, we will be looking at ways to mitigate the loss of that interest revenue that we get from that reserve fund. But that is potentially 5 or 7 years down the road.
Okay, and roughly, approximately through the chair to you, how long is that amount, $10 million, been in, just, I'm not going to hold you to it.
I can safely say longer than I've been here. I believe that it was mid-2000, or before 2000?
No, it was negotiated. I can't recall when the money came in, the actual check.
I'll try and answer that question. We had the money, but we couldn't use it for some time. And once certain conditions were lifted, and I think those conditions were satisfied about 4 years ago, then the money was ours to spend. Don't hold me to that. It could be three, it could be five, roughly.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any further questions or comments on that? So I've got a couple. I would hope that it is the intention of this council. I preferred, frankly, the first motion where we were starting to pay money back to this. We are essentially probably the next council committing them, if they're paying the money back, to about a 3 to 4 tenths point on the budget right away. And I would hope that this council is of the intention that this money go back, that we aren't looking at this as a piggy bank, because piggy banks, once you break them open, the dollars tend to go quite quickly. Having said that, I'll absolutely support the motion, support the $5 million, for all the reasons Councillor Neal points out. This is a form of economic development. You know, they'll be hiring probably more people than what Toyota is doing now in addition. And if you look at that as an economic engine, exceptionally important. Madam Clerk, a recorded vote, please.
On the motion to commit $5 million from the Strategic Capital Reserve Fund, Councillor Anderson?
Yes.
Councillor Hooper?
Yes.
Councillor Jones? Left room, sorry. Councillor Neal?
Yes.
Councillor Trail?
Yes.
Mayor Foster?
Yes. And that motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Just wait for just a moment for Councillor Jones to join us. So, Councillor Anderson, you would be up. I say we're just going to go alphabetically. There is a memo from Mr. Pinn in front of us. If you have that, you might choose an item to move. And that was a number of those items were transferring items from levy to reserves. Do you have that? Or it can go to Section 12 of the report. Page is that? That'd be council options. This was just so much easier.
Well, you're the only one that has that.
Oh.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to move for a 5 minute break.
Well, that'll actually work for me right now.
Pardon me?
So that'll actually work for me right now.
Okay.
Seconded by Councillor Jones. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. Please. So we will be looking at under 12 in the report, that's page 14. There are a number of alternatives for council consideration, starting with Councillor Anderson. I'm going to ask Mr. Pinn to describe what it is that he is suggesting as an option. And then, Councillor, based on what you hear from Mr. Pinn, we'll invite you to give us an option to consider. So, Mr. Pinn, 12.3. Just do one at a time.
Through the chair, the first option on the list is regarding the $130,000 additional funding for playground equipment replacement that was provided from Mr. Horvath in response to some of the requests and delegations that we've received. Right now it is in the tax levy. The option would be to fund it from the Parks Facilities Maintenance Reserve Fund. So the resolution in front of you would be something along the lines of 130 be drawn from the Parks Facilities Maintenance Reserve Fund to fund the additional service level increase to playground equipment upgrades on attachment one, which is the overall budget.
Councillor Anderson, would you like to make that motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion. Move it as is.
So as described by Mr. Penn?
Yes.
All right. Madam Clerk, do you have that? All right. Do we have a seconder on that? Councilor Trail?
Councilor Anderson said as is, but just to clarify.
Well, it's as described by Mr. Penn.
So from the Parks Reserve. Yes, I'll say.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. Questions or comments on that? I thought Councilor Trail seconded that. Did you not? Yes. Councilor Neal.
Maybe I'll go. I think I need to go to the hospital. Just kidding. Just kidding. I seem to have nothing but health related. Now my eye's starting to bother me, of course, right? So anyway, maybe. But you just think if I lost my voice, wouldn't that be great? You know, just think, there'd be a cheer. Grow up. excuse me. No.
It's starting.
Somebody's looking down on me. I forgot the words. Through the chair, if we pass this, this doesn't preclude us from supplementing this in any way, does it, Mr. Penn?
Through the chair, all this does is right now the $130,000 extra is sitting in the tax levy. It is an additional request to try and get ahead of some playground equipment issues. This resolution keeps the 130 in there, and it just moves the funding from the levy to the reserve fund, which has sufficient funds to fund this.
And I guess through you, Mr. Chair, to Mr. Horvath, we heard from the two delegates about the Curtis Parks. Is this money do you have plans for that in terms of?
Through the chair to Councillor Neal, we always have plans for money that's given to us. Our staff have identified 6 playground units that would certainly be funded if we continue to get this funding each year, but those 2 are on our list, high on our list.
Okay, so if for example, so that could be spread out amongst 6, at this point, possibly 6 parks, right?
That funding, no. What we're experiencing right now is any replacements that we were doing in 2017 and 2018, the average cost was between $50,000 to $60,000. And this is a full playground. So similar to the one you've got at the one park of a Turnberry, that's a smaller unit. We're not looking at smaller units anymore. We're looking at a larger unit. So actually, the 130 will get us, based on 2018 figures, 2 playgrounds.
But that, through the chair, this is kind of, we have almost, it's almost like a, I want to call it, is it a cookie cutter type of park equipment? Like it's similar, always similar looking? Like if you want to do something a little bit special for a particular park, would you need more money than that? Or?
I'm not sure. First of all, I'm not sure if it's a cookie cutter approach. The fact is that when we send out our RFPs or tenders, whatever the case may be, we take a look at what are the components would be, and we list out the minimum, and the various playground suppliers will provide us with a proposal with us to take a look at and a model, so we judge it based on all that. So are they all the same? I would doubt it. If you're looking for something special, then certainly the budget would certainly go up, but I'm not sure what special means at this point in time.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Anderson. Well, actually, you know what, Councillor Anderson, your motion, so I'm gonna go, you get the last.
Yeah, I guess, okay.
Councillor Hooper.
Yeah, my question was very similar to what Councillor Neal just proposed. So, through you to Mr. Horvath, so would they prioritize which park would, for example, the 2 delegates we had, so maybe one of those 2 would be, you know, require more, and could they use the full amount to do one of those parks as opposed to 2, and then just push it out sort of as you move along?
Through the chair to Councilor Hooper, if I understand your question, number one is, if we're talking about simply replacing a playground structure with the money that you've just, or is being recommended at this point in time, will allow us to put 2 playground structures in next year. If there's anything else, then it certainly would be extra to that. I'm not sure what the extras would be at this point.
So what I'm saying is, through your department, would you prioritize which ones would?
Yes.
You know where I'm going.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Councillor Anderson.
My question is similarly to Councillor Hooper as well. When you look at playgrounds, I notice the ones that need upgrades are in older neighborhoods. Do you look at the neighborhood, the demographics of kids, et cetera, when you do that? And I know there are two delegations here. Do you look at playgrounds other than their playgrounds in certain areas that people don't actually come in and present to us that needs upgrade? How do you go about doing that, determining what playgrounds to upgrade?
Through the chair to Councillor Anderson, I think there's several things we look at. Number one is we take a look at our region of Durham health inspections that we have to do, as well as we have to do monthly inspections of the unit. We also take a look at where's the replacement or where are the repairs to that piece of equipment before we make that decision. Council has to understand is we have 62 playground units. Normally I get two playground units to replace every year. So those are all the factors that we take a look at. Do we look at the community? Not per se, but we know that our communities are getting younger. And at one point in time, we had a small playground structure template and a larger playground structure. We're finding that that doesn't work anymore, that we take a look at a modified one that has accessible features with it as well.
Just a follow-up. If you do two units every year, you'll never get caught up. So how do you manage that?
Hence my problem.
Right. Mr. Horvath, I think maybe what we're hearing from members of committee would be an understanding of what's on the list and where it might be on the list. Is that doable at some point in time in the future? Or maybe further information, be it a report or, an explanation in terms of, Councillor Anderson's point, 30 years, but it's, so that we have a better understanding of what's getting done when. Not today and not prior to council being ratified.
Mr. Mayor, we certainly could provide you the schedule for replacements that we're on right now, and as well, if this additional money comes through, that replacement protocol as well. We can do that very shortly.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. With that, call the question. All in support? Opposed? And that is carried. Thank you. So the next, and this would be for you, Councillor Hooper, we get Mr. Pinn to describe item 12.4. This is the Orono Town Hall.
Through the chair, on the Friday before the budget document went to print for council, the Orono Town Hall accessibility project came up. This is $207,000, which right now is in the tax levy. We could take that from other sources. I'm suggesting that one option is just to do it from reserve funds and give me the opportunity to figure out which one. Or we could do internal external borrowing. However, I would feel at this point that unless there are significant projects that would not be feasible just due to the dollar value. So the suggestion would be to move the municipal portion of the Orono Town Hall accessibility upgrade to a reserve fund at the Director of Finance's discretion.
Councillor Hooper.
Okay, I would like to move that the 2007 be drawn from reserve funds to be determined by the Director of Finance to fund the municipal portion of the Orono Town Hall upgrades identified as a service level increase on attachment number one.
Okay, and just as a reminder, the balance of the funding, we had information in camera, so you won't want to describe that in open session. Okay, do I have a seconder?
I'll second.
Councillor Anderson, thank you. Questions or comments? Councillor Trail.
Thank you. So through the chair, I'm not sure, well, I guess we can't discuss too much about this, but through the chair, this isn't something that has to be done though, right? I mean, I would be supporting removing this from the budget entirely because it's my understanding that this isn't something that's critically important, but that simply we have an opportunity to partake in this initiative at this point, but it's not something that necessarily has to be done, or perhaps I'm incorrect.
So I'll let Mr. Horvath speak to it, other than the significant portion of the cost won't be borne by the taxpayers. But Mr. Horvath, can you speak to that and the need for this?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Traill raises the point, is it necessary to be done? No, it's not necessary to be done, but we are trying to make our municipal buildings accessible to the best of our ability. We have an opportunity here, working with the Orono Town Hall and other related agencies, to undertake to improve the accessibility. This hall is very challenging, as most of you will know who have visited that hall. You have on the lower levels the washroom facilities. On the main level, you have the community hall. To get to that community hall is another step up. So it is an opportunity that certainly may increase their rentals. It's been a cry from that community for years that this building is not accessible. So it's an opportunity for us to make it happen. If council decides not to do it, then certainly that's their desire. We will continue to take a look at accessibility improvements in all our buildings and bring the appropriate recommendations forward.
Further questions or comments? Councillor Anderson.
I beg to differ through the chair. Accessibility is a priority, and all our buildings should be accessible. And it's well needed in Orono. I've heard that from the community that they are not able to use the washrooms, people with disabilities, and so I disagree, and I think it's urgently need to be done. And plus, there's funding from other sources, which is a one-time opportunity, probably. So I don't see a point why we should not do that now, pursue that now.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Neal.
Well, through the chair, so my understanding is currently run by a hall board. Is that? But I don't hear a. I'm not saying I don't support it, but I'm not hearing a lot of things going on there. So, what's the utilization like of the versus? I think Newcastle Town Hall's busy all the time, but I've been to a few functions there. It's a great hall.
Through the chair to council, I can't really give you any statistics on what the usage is at Orono Town Hall. I know they have several events there through the course of the year, obviously. I know that from the private sector, the movie sector, they have a lot of movie shoots there. They had two that I'm aware of in 2018, and possibly 2019 they will have Murdoch Mysteries. I know they have their annual spaghetti dinner. They have the Breakfast with Santa. I know they have various weddings in there. But I can get you that information. I just don't have it handy. Sorry.
Okay. And through the chair, you mentioned, Councillor Anderson mentioned the washroom, but it's not going to make the washrooms accessible, is it? I see the shaking yes. So.
Yes, through the chair to Councillor Neal, yes. Part of that program would be the elevator and to construct a universal washroom.
Thank you.
Through the chair, if I may, through some recent work that staff have done to look into the hall and the use of the hall, as Mr. Horvath said, we don't have the statistics here before us, but the use of the building has its limitations due to the accessibility constraints.
A second time around, Councillor Anderson?
Yeah, thank you. Well,
so hang on, we need to vote
that's
on
the
that.
Exact...
Hang on. Seconded by Councillor Neal, all in support of a second time around. Opposed, carried. Go ahead, Councillor.
It's just to follow up there that, yes, the accessibility would improve the usage of any building. People will not rent a building if it's not completely dependent on the usage, so that would impact as well. Thanks.
All right, anything further on that? So the gorgeous town hall, I think anything that we can do to A, make it more accessible, B, get more use out of it, makes sense, and we've got a significant partner at the table, which I think, Councillor Anderson, you're right, this, you know, a one time.
I can't now.
I'm sorry, Councillor, I didn't see your hand.
Oh,
so
you can't
go,
because
go ahead.
Screen's
I know
I did have it up.
I need to grow 6 inches, that's not gonna happen, sadly. Go ahead.
I was just going to sort of agree with Councillor Anderson, and we're talking about economic development in Orono. That place could become the Little Playhouse Theater, for lack of a better name, that would draw people to that building, and making it accessible to a degree may enhance that rentability for the place. And there's limitations in regards to what, that's probably why it's not being rented out as much as it could be. I look at Newcastle. Newcastle is a very, very strong place, and I mean it holds a lot more people. But maybe you can make it a little more intimate, and I just think it's the way to go with making it accessible as much as we can. Thank you.
Righty, I'll call the question, Councillor Neal.
Through the chair, has there been a building assessment done though? Like I don't want to hear a year from now that there's a $200,000 roof repair that we're going to have to pay for. So what's the rest of the building like?
Through the chair to Councillor Neal, to my knowledge, it's in good shape. We do a building assessment every 5 years, and I could be off by that. Maybe the last time we did an assessment was more than 5 years ago. I know we just did a quick building assessment of the clock tower, and at this point in time, we understand that everything is in good shape.
For the clock tower or the building?
Clock tower. Clock tower has a little bit of work to it, not very much, but everything else is in pretty good shape.
So I would move an amendment that staff report at the council meeting on the overall condition of the building, if I can get a second at the same time.
Seconded by Councillor Trail. Questions or comments on that?
If I can, Mr. Chair. Again, I just hope we're not sinking a bunch of money into something that's going to, where I can turn around and spend a lot more money again, in a year or something, because there's major structural issues, and that's all. So I think it's just a bit of due diligence that we should do, perhaps. And I'm not sure. Like again, we see minutes, for example, from the Newcastle Hall Board, and I don't recall ever seeing any minutes from the Orono Town Hall Board or whatever. So I'm just concerned if it's not really being actively managed, are we managers by default, and hence we should do some due diligence and so.
So, Mr. Horvath, if you could answer that, and the other is it doable?
Well, let me answer the easy question first. I just forgot it, sorry. No. Number one is, they're not a board of council, so their minutes do not have to come to council. The only ones that are board of council are Tyrone, Salina, Newcastle Memorial Arena, and Newcastle Community Hall. They're the only ones that have to submit their minutes to council and have a council representative on it. With regard to the second part of that, our staff are very involved with the Orono Town Hall, as we are with every municipal building, community building that we have. We meet with them on a regular basis, we're in contact with them all the time, so we're certainly one step ahead of it. With regard to the building assessment, I will double check. I hope I can have something back to council for Monday's meeting.
Thank you.
Can I follow up to that, Mr. Chair?
Councilor?
So the Orono Town Hall Board is totally separate and distinct from everything else, like the arena, it's totally on its own, but is it spending money on maintenance, or I'm just unsure what the whole situation is there, that's all. Just
through the chair to Councillor Neal, Orono Town Hall is no different than Kendall, Hayden, Hampton, Brownsdale, Newtonville,
okay,
Memorial Clubhouse. So those are all volunteer boards, and we work with them. The municipality's responsibility is the physical plant, the building envelope, i.e. roof replacements, if the furnace goes down, whatever the case may be. Anything above and beyond that, painting inside the hall, chairs, tables, refinishing a floor, those type of things falls under the responsibility of the community buildings.
Okay, and you brought up Hampton. Like, is are Is Hampton accessible, or?
So, Counselor, can we stick with, we're dealing with an amendment?
Well, the, no, but the, the.
Hang on.
Fair enough.
We're not dealing with Hampton, we're dealing with a very discreet item with Orno. So,